continue for a moment with that same verse. Sasattvam enam paritu vipasyan stambasya majat anunir jihanam nayam rigo na binaru vichitram aho kemeta nirmigendya rupam. While Hiranyakasipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakasipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? In the next chapter, it is mentioned that Lakshmi Devi, who is the eternal consort of the Lord, and therefore always in his association, always serving his lotus feet, she is serving the Lord in so many Vishnu forms and so many Vaikuntha lokas. But when she saw this form, she wasn't sure who he was. And that's actually why she was afraid.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
She was afraid. It is said it is the Lila Shakti of the Lord. For that reason, she didn't know. And therefore, she didn't come forward. And then finally. So this creature of the half-man, half-lion was a particular form that was reserved for that time, that particular moment, never seen, never heard. And it is also said that when finally Hiranyakasipu was being killed, that although, generally speaking, when a demon is killed by the Supreme Lord, that demon will attain liberation from this material existence. But in the case of Hiranyakasipu, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Hiranyakasipu was yet to take another birth. Of course, there was a reason for this. Because it is described that once the two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, who were guarding the gates of Vaikuntha, were dedicated to their duties when the four Kumaras, the four sages, who by their own power decided to never get older than 5 years, which is very smart.
Downhill from there, right?
After 5 years, all trouble begins, basically. Up to five, you can do anything you like, and what can anybody say? So therefore, they had chosen that age. They were completely free to go anywhere and everywhere, and they were ready to enter into the Vaikuntha locus and were checked by Jai and Vijay. The four Kumaras, they were an interesting mix of self-realized souls and at the same time also having somewhat of that youthful nature of five-year-olds. And they spontaneously cursed the gatekeepers. Later, the Lord upheld that curse, and it's a Jai and Vijay took birth or had to take birth in the material world and were given the choice by the Supreme Lord either to become demons three times or devotees seven times in the material world. So they chose the position of demons. And it is said Jai became Hiranyakasipu. So Hiranyakasipu, when he was finally being killed by that half-man, half-lion, he wasn't quite sure who he was, that creature. He wasn't fully convinced that he was the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he took birth again. Srila Prabhupada mentions like that in the purports to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The next verse says something similar. Hiranyakasipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimension of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouths appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakasipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me? But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking this and taking up his club, Hiranyakasipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. So it's clear that Hiranyakasipu understood that he was dealing, that ultimately he was dealing with Vishnu. But he wasn't sure if this form was Vishnu himself, or an agent, some demon created by Vishnu, or anything like that. That wasn't clear to him. So, in the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a very famous letter, and in that letter, he is describing, he says that Hiranyakasipu, wherever he looked, he could not see the Lord. And we see even when he saw the Lord, still he could not accept, he could not see the Lord. Even upon seeing the Lord, he could not see the Lord. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, and Prahlad, he was seeing the Lord everywhere. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, and we are in between. In between Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad. So I think that's an interesting point for today, to kind of identify with both. See, if the whole day we're just identifying with Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu is the bad guy, that's not as much fun as seeing ourselves in between and looking for a few moments for the little Hiranyakasipu in ourselves, who is obviously there also. And in this way, the Bhagavatam is a very interesting narrative, because it's not just a story of what transpired, but it offers us introspection. Within the Bhagavatam, we become confronted with ourselves and with our own shortcomings, either hearing the descriptions about Hiranyakasipu and realizing that some of these qualities we indeed have, or hearing about the saint leaders of Prahlad and realizing how much we fall short in having these qualities of Prahlad. So, I think that is interesting. Hiranyakasipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this, and taking up his club, Hiranyakasipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Of course, in the next chapter, it also mentions that that the roar of Nrisinga, of Lord Nrisingadev, made elephants run in all directions towards a great distance to go in hiding. So it is a fact that Hiranyakasipu initially was very proud and was just not even taking his opponent very serious. He was thinking, what can he do to me? Who can fight with me? What is even the point of him trying? It's like ridiculous. You know, someone standing up against me, I'll just smash him in a few moments. He never doubted it for a moment. He was that much confident in his own power. After all, when Hiranyakasipu would raise his eyebrow, the whole universe was shaking in fear. Like Ravindasarup Prabhu was mentioning about Mussolini and the railway running in time, it said that the whole universe performed better than ever. Better than ever. It was always nice weather. Everything was, the grains were growing in the fields. Everything was going extremely well because out of fear of Hiranyakasipu, the whole universe. So affairs were going very, very nice. Like Mussolini. Yeah. Interesting. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire, and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakasipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakasipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Yeah. See, the Prabhupada said, yes, Hiranyakasipu became invisible, or his influence became insignificant. Krishna is known as Asamuradva, and he has no equal. There is no one like him. So, next to Krishna, next to the Supreme Lord, everyone becomes minimized, and therefore naturally everyone bows down, or the demons will not accept this. But we saw Hiranyakasipu became eclipsed automatically by the qualities of Lord Nrisimhadeva. He did not have to do anything. Just his very existence was so far superior to Hiranyakasipu, who was so greatly proud, proud of all his material attributes. We heard a reference from Bhagavad Gita, Sapta Ge Purusham Nrisu. Purusham Nrisu actually means that I am the ability in man. Everything comes from Krishna, and it can be taken away in just a moment. So in front of the Supreme Lord, Hiranyakasipu did not appear as all-powerful as he had appeared up to that point. Suddenly, his glories were just diminished and practically became invisible in front of the Lord, whose effulgence of visuddhisattva, of transcendental goodness, is emanating everywhere. Therefore, the great demon Hiranyakasipu was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisimhadeva with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisimhadeva, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisimhadeva gave Hiranyakasipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods, who had lost their abodes and were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon, did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. We see that Krishna, in playing with his opponents and taking up the role of having to fight with the demons, that he, in that fight, appears like almost equal and just a little bit more powerful. Which, of course, is absolutely not the fact. Right? It's the demons are totally insignificant to the Lord. And the devotees who read a little more careful and who read in that understanding can see Hiranyakasipu struck the Lord with his mace. His fist alone was enough to smash pillars. So what to speak of his mace, what it could not smash. But it didn't seem to make even an impression on Lord Shinbei. It's even not clear if he noticed it. And possibly he noticed it, but it did not in any way affect him. Totally unaffected. The Supreme Lord can never be affected by anything material. He is always transcendental. And therefore, no material force can affect him in any way. So in this way, Lord Nrsimhadev remained unaffected. But the Lord is playful. And not only is he playful with the demons, as Garuda may play with a snake or maybe a cat with a mouse. It's not a cat and mouse game. In a cat and mouse game, it's the cat is enjoying his power. The cat lets the mouse go for a moment, and then hits him again with its claw, just to enjoy its power. That mouse can run as fast as it wants, but can never escape. And the cat enjoys that power. Just see my power. But when Lord Nrsimhadev is acting in this way, he is not enjoying his power. No. Lord Nrsimhadev is playing, but he's really playing with the hearts of the demigods, who are devotees, oh yes, but who have material attachments. And the Lord, who are afraid of the demon and of what they have lost, and whose hopes on regaining their opulence now is just building up. Aha, now this demon will get what he deserves. Now we will be reinstated. Now everything will be fine. And next moment, oh my God, he slipped from the grip of the Lord. And now it's getting out of hand. Literally, the demon is getting out of hand. He totally got out of hand. And now what will happen? Who will win? Oh, all our hopes being smashed last minute. In this way, the Lord was not just playing with the demon, but he was playing with the hearts of the demigods, whose attachment to their position was being exposed, and who were not just unalloyed devotees like Prahlad, who, I was reading the next chapter, and in the next chapter, the prayers of Prahlad, it is mentioned that after Hiranyakasipu was killed, Prahlad offered different prayers, and in one of the prayers that he offered, he spoke about having no interest whatsoever in any material wealth or position, and that all he wanted was devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport and said, yes, you know, Prahlad basically would have had a good inheritance from his father. He would have inherited a lot of wealth, a lot. He would have been very wealthy after his father was killed. But he was not interested. He immediately renounced all that. And all that he was interested in was devotional service. So never did he think like that. But Hiranyakasipu, of course, was completely into wealth. And the demigods also, who were mixed devotees. So when one is such a mixed devotee, then it is difficult to become completely focused on the Lord. It is said when one is still engaged in enjoying the senses, then samadhana vidhiyate, then one cannot become completely absorbed. It is said that when Prahlad offered his prayers, that he was completely absorbed in samadhi. And that being absorbed in samadhi meant that he had completely withdrawn from being on the sensual platform. His senses were not occupying his attention other than when they were connected with the Supreme Lord. All his senses had now become absorbed in seeing the Lord, hearing, smelling, touch, all these functions were now completely related to the Lord. And in this way, Prahlad had overcome the sensual platform where the senses are preoccupied with so many material things, which, of course, is, in our case, since we are in between Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad, the senses are very powerful and many times successful in completely absorbing our consciousness, and with great difficulty we somehow or other withdraw our minds, our concentration from these ever-present senses that are but then as Prahlad Maharaj states, devotional service is our saving grace. It is that service that absorbs the mind and senses automatically in the service of the Lord. That is the amazing nature of devotional service, which otherwise... devotional service is very interesting because one can take the things from the material world that ordinarily entangle one's consciousness, and one can take these same things and now use them in the service of Krishna, and one becomes liberated by these same things. That is the amazing thing. So, and that is our only hope, to engage in devotional service and pray for devotional service.
Like eating.
It's on a fast day, you always start. When it's an hour after breakfast, then these kind of thoughts start to appear.
Isn't it? It comes up in the consciousness.
It does, I guess.
It does.
I was just thinking how, you know, eating binds you, or if it's prasadam, it liberates you. Same thing that caused your bondage becomes a liberation.
Yes.
But it's probably true. It came up because of not doing either.
Probably. Anyway, then the Sringadev, making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who's extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakasipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakasipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth, his eyes closed because of fear of Nrisimhadev's laughter. So we can see that here the consciousness of Hiranyakasipu changed a little bit as the fight is progressing. In the beginning, being very convinced, who can do anything to me, and so on. Now, the situation had changed quite a bit. And he was just covering himself from all sides, and suddenly he was in a total defensive mode. And leaving no gaps open with his sword and shield. But meanwhile, his eyes closed out of fear of Nrisimhadev's piercing, shrill laughter. So, that anger of the Lord is very deep. It is an anger which is where the Lord, yes, the Lord with pleasure was ready to destroy Hiranyakasipu. It was a pleasure indeed. And he laughed, enjoying it at that point, in his anger. You want to break, you want to destroy with pleasure. There was an element of pleasure. And that is where the mood of laughter enters, which is very interesting. Lord Nrisimhadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes Oh, I missed something. Oh, yeah, here, that was the second half of the verse. Mm. As Hiranyakasipu moved his limbs here and there and all around, very much afflicted at being tortured, Lord Nrsingadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs, and in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Oh. And we have, of course, that famous painting done by Yadurani, where really the intestines are pulled out and hanging on the neck of Lord Nrsingadev and so on as a garment. And yeah, I remember we used to have that painting painted on the wall, like more than, well, Nrsingadev was very large, but from the floor to the ceiling, right in Calcutta Temple. And I remember someone standing in front of that painting and just saying, "What is that?" you see. Yeah, that whole ghastly, but what kind of God? What kind of God are you worshipping? A bloodthirsty, destructive God who is like ripping intestines and so on out of people's abdomen. Horrific. What kind of cult is this? And here the cult has assembled in the dark forest of Germany, right, for some dark rituals which are to be performed here. On the, of course, just the Chaturdasi, the darkness is getting to its height. So here we are in this on this occasion, the cult in its headquarters, engaging in the fairies.
Bavaria.
Yeah. So what's going on? And it's filmed also by three television crews from three different countries. They're filming everything. Everything. I'm finishing.
Yeah.
But I started. He took 5 minutes extra. So I'm watching the time.
Yeah, long kirtan too.
That was ordered. That was on the menu.
Is he just a puppet? We're just puppets.
Puppets in the hands of the puppet. Anyway, the point is this that I'm wanting to make in a conclusion. Is that this ghastly form is only the external sight of Lord Nrsingadev with his Vajranaga, Vajradamstra, with his teeth like his nails and teeth like thunderbolts. That harsh form of the Lord is actually a manifestation of his soft-heartedness. He is the most soft-hearted because he does it all out of love. Out of love for Prahlad. And therefore, Prahlad had no fear at all. And when Prahlad sees the ghastly form in one of his prayers, he describes, "I have no fear of all the blood in your mane and your nails and all these deadly features of your appearance." Because here is the loving Supreme Lord who is a person, who is not just an impersonal loving energy, but who is a person, who is a Lord with a heart. Impersonal calamity, Tao is moved. Absolute is sentient, Tao is proved. That the Lord has a heart, and that he will not tolerate it when his devotees are being harassed, attacked. No, he will not, because his devotees have endeared themselves to him. And thus, the Lord will always, always protect his devotee. And therefore, yato, yato, yamitato, nisingo. Srila Prabhupada says, wherever we are, always just remember the Nrsingadev. Yato, yato, yamitato, nisingo. And we'll become fearless. Fearless. because the Lord existentity so certainly always protects his devotees. So then it continues after Hiranyakasipu has been killed. Right. I ended at text number 13.